You're listening to the Wheel Truth Podcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay tuned as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast. We are truly thankful that you are tuned our way, and we're trusting that you'll stay with us, for it is our sincere desire to bring you a gospel broadcast that will be a blessing to your spiritual life.
Since I've started controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Every need He is supplying, plenteous grace He bestows.
Brother Roger Hood and Sister Melody Hood, singing for us, "The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows." We are living in a troubled world, and there's much sin and wickedness on every hand, but I'm glad there is a way that is the way of peace, and that's Christ's way. For He said, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." So in this troubled world, there is a place, there is a way that we can live, that we can have peace in our soul, peace with God, and peace with our fellow man. What a wonderful blessing it is to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we are thankful for the privilege we have of living for You. We also thank You for our precious congregation, and we're trusting that as the songs and as the message goes forth today, they shall be accompanied by the Holy Spirit and be a blessing, an encouragement, a help to our congregation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, God Dwells with the Humble. And for a text of scripture, I will read Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. There are different shades of meaning to the word humble or humility, but the central thought is freedom from pride, lowliness, meekness, modesty, mildness. Now, to the ancient Greeks, humility was weak and despicable, but Jesus made it the cornerstone of character. According to Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary, Jesus made it the cornerstone of character. First, let me point out, according to the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2 and verses 18 and 19 that there is such a thing as false humility, or pretense, in other words. God will not dwell with such. No, false pretense or false humility does not bring the presence and the blessings of God. Wonderful grace that Almighty God, whom the heavens cannot contain, would take up his abode in the heart of him who has humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. Just think of that now. The Almighty God, the one who inhabits eternity, the one whom the very heavens cannot contain, is willing to come and to abide with those who are of a humble heart. Yes, wonderful grace that Almighty God, whom the heavens cannot contain, would take up his abode in the heart of him who has humbled himself under that mighty hand. The Holy God will have a holy dwelling place, whether in heaven or on earth. No, there has never been anything in heaven that would defile it. There's never been a devil there in heaven to defile it. There's never been sin there to defile it. God cannot even be tempted with evil, let alone doing evil, and he does not dwell in heaven where there is evil. He dwells in a holy heaven. He dwells in a holy place. And I say, God will have a holy dwelling place, whether it is in heaven or whether it is on earth. For this purpose, God has given us the perfect revelation of his holy will, even to the adornment of our bodies. Yes, even to the adornment of our bodies. For Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." No, we do not have a right to do with our bodies as we please. Now, I realize that's one of the modern thinkings and modern theories of the day, especially when it comes to abortion, that a woman has a right to do with her body as she pleases. But that is not what the Scriptures teach. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And this includes what the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter said in regard to not adorning ourselves with gold and pearls and costly array. And it also includes what the prophet Jeremiah said about painting up the face and so forth, for your lovers will despise you. So we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit. And we must walk humbly with God if God is going to dwell with us. Humility is a reasonable requirement. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So we read in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. We also read in James chapter 4 and verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." The Word of God tells us that they that exalt themselves shall be abased, that they who humble themselves shall be exalted. So humility is a reasonable requirement, and it is something that God has showed us that he requires. If we're going to walk with God, we read in the Old Testament book of Genesis how that Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. And the only way that Enoch walked with God or could walk with God was by having a humble, submissive spirit. We also read in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1, where the Lord appeared to Abraham and told him, I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And so for Abraham to walk with God, he had to walk humbly with God. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now these verses teach obedience to all the requirements of God. A perfect agreement with Him. This is what it takes to walk humbly with Him. You cannot pick and choose the scriptures that you want to obey and disregard the others. And you cannot be disobedient to the commands of God, knowingly disobedient to the commands of God, and meet God's requirement for walking with Him. So the verses that I have just referred to in Micah 6 and 8 and James 4 and 10 and others, these verses teach obedience to all the requirements of God. Yes, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. The Apostle James said we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. A walk with God at once suggests an exalted and lofty position, quite the opposite from one of humiliation, as the Greeks thought. Again, to the Greeks, humility was weak and despicable, but not so with God, not so with Jesus Christ. A walk with God at once suggests an exalted and lofty position. Why? Because we are walking with the Almighty God, the Eternal God, the Everlasting God, the only true and living God. To be able to walk with Him is indeed a lofty position. But we, in our spirit and in our attitude, we must be humble. And we must allow God to do the exalting. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we read in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 33. Let me read that verse again. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 15 and 33. Now, let me refer to some examples and benefits of self-humility. After Elijah told King Ahab, and he was a wicked king, having married a Gentile woman who brought in false prophets to teach Israel to worship Baal instead of the true God, Elijah told Ahab what God was going to do to him and to his household because of his wicked ways. We read, it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, the words of Elijah, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 27. Yes, we see here Ahab, a wicked king, yet whenever Elijah told him what God said he was going to do to him and to his household, he certainly humbled himself. And as a result of his humility and humbling himself, the punishment on his household was postponed until after his death. No, God didn't change his mind. He still punished the household, but he waited until after Ahab had died because Ahab humbled himself in the way that I have just read. And God postponed then the punishment until after his death. Now, God had promised judgment against Judah, but when Josiah became king and was informed of God's law, we read, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. So here again, God did not do away with what he had declared or withdraw what he had declared, but he did postpone it because this king, whenever he heard the word of God read and the announcements of what God had said he was going to do against Judah, when he heard it, he humbled himself. Yes, he humbled himself and he wept before God, and God said, I'm going to gather you unto your people. In other words, you will die without seeing the evil that I am going to bring upon Judah. Now, to humble ourselves is a condition of God's favor. Yes, to humble ourselves is a condition of God's favor. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So God said to Solomon, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Of course, God's people today are living a holy and a righteous and a godly life. But the nation in which we live, regardless of where you're hearing this broadcast, the nation in which we live is a wicked nation, and it certainly needs to humble the people of the nation, needs to humble themselves. And God told Solomon, if my people, and he was speaking particularly then of Israel, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Certainly, America and others of other nations need to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, for our nations stand in great need of God's healing power. And I speak especially from a moral and a spiritual standpoint. Now, Jesus, by his humility, draws people to himself. Notice this passage of Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So Jesus Christ himself is meek and lowly, and by his humility he draws people unto himself. Paul, speaking of Jesus, said, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. And notice this passage of Scripture that Paul wrote to the Philippians, how that Jesus Christ humbled himself. Now, we're talking about the eternal locus. We're talking about the one who created the heavens and the earth. Yes, he created all things, and he was before all things, and by him all things consist. But he took upon himself the robe of flesh, and he came into this world and made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. Do you not remember there in the upper room, when he laid aside his outer garment and took a towel and a basin of water and washed his disciples' feet? And he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. In olden times, when a traveler stopped in some people's tent home, the master of the house would have his most lowly servant to wash the servant's feet. Not always, because sometimes, even as Abraham gave the three travelers a pail of water and they washed their own feet. But I say in homes where maybe the master had a servant to wash the traveler's feet, he chose the most humble, the most lowly of all of his servants. And so Jesus Christ humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If that was not an example for us, I do not know where you'll find one. Where and what do we have to be so proud and boastful of? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor even a shadow of a turning. Our very breath is given to us by God. We cannot make one hair white or black. No, we can't do anything of ourselves. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So what do we have to be proud and puffed up about? Let us humble ourselves and walk with God. Only by pride cometh contention, so we read in Proverbs 13 and 10. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16 and 18. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. So Isaiah said in our text today, Isaiah 57, 15. Now the choice is ours to make. And I would urge everyone, humble yourself to walk with God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing this broadcast with this precious people today. We trust that the Holy Spirit has made it a blessing to each and to every one, for this is our desire and request. In Jesus' name, amen. We do count it a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week, and we do trust that it's proving to be a blessing. It would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to write and let us know. Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin and Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast.